The story of John Henry has been told for generations. John Henry is the 19th century black laborer who beat the steam drill and then died from exertion. It's been the subject of scholarly and children's works. Paul Robeson played him on Broadway. The song John Henry is the single most recorded ballad in American folk music. In this installment of Present at the Creation, Stephen Wade reports on the song's origins and its enduring appeal.
Every morning at 4 a.m., Doc Hopkins, an Eastern Kentucky ballad singer, rode Chicago's elevated train to work. Beginning in 1930 and continuing for the next 22 years, Doc performed on the radio, playing his guitar and sometimes a banjo, passing along to his listeners capsule histories about the ballads he'd grown up singing. One story, though, that he never shared with his listeners, told how he waited for the L to take him downtown for his early morning wake-up show. An elderly man approached him on the platform and motioned to Doc's guitar. "Do you play that?" Doc nodded yes. "Well, do you know how to play John Henry?" Doc answered, "I sure do." It had been the first song he'd ever learned on the guitar. "Well," the man said, "John Henry was my father." Doc looked back at him and replied, "From the way you say it, I believe he was."
When John Henry was a little baby boy, you could hold him up in one hand. Last word he heard his poor mama say, "Johnny, make a steel-driving man. Johnny, make a steel-driving man."
When Doc Hopkins slid his pocket knife over the strings, he echoed the battering of steel against steel that marked John Henry's work. Construction laborers like John Henry pounded sledgehammers on the sharpened drill bits that could pierce through layers of rock to create blasting holes. On reaching a depth of 10 or 12 feet, workers then placed nitroglycerin charges inside the cavity and set off an explosion, thereby clearing the way for a tunnel. In this place of rock falls and roof cave-ins, darkness but for the flicker of kerosene lanterns, vitiated air and repeated calls for water, steel drivers somehow sang, setting a rhythm with their hammers. It was from this environment that John Henry Ballad arose, a ballad whose earliest versions usually place its locale at West Virginia's Big Bend Tunnel on the C&O Railroad. Between 1870 and 1872, a labor force of reportedly 1,000 men, most of them just 5 years freed of slavery, cut through 1.25 miles of red shale to create the longest tunnel in the United States.
John Henry was a steel-driving man, drove steel all over the land.
Word of this undertaking, said Merle Travis, traveled beyond West Virginia.
"Ever since I've been big enough to remember hearing anybody sing anything at all, I believe I've heard that old song about the strong man that hammered himself to death on the railroad. John Henry was his name. There's been dozens and dozens of different tales about where John Henry come from. The Southern folks claims he was an iron worker from Birmingham. The West claims that he worked on the Santa Fe Railroad in the early days. And I've heard the East Kentucky coal miners claim that John Henry was one of their very own. I don't know myself where in the world John Henry come from, but according to this song, he was a good un when John Henry was a little bitty boy."
As Travis noted, one place that claimed John Henry was Birmingham. In a study published just last month, retired chemistry professor John Garst connected two 1929 letters with a railroad tunnel that lies 15 miles east of Birmingham. While unable to verify the identity of John Henry or his contest with the steam drill, Garst did confirm the background information contained in the accounts written by former railroad worker C.C. Spencer. In them, Spencer mentioned tunnel engineer Captain Frederick Dabney, who he said brought with him to Alabama a former slave named John Henry Dabney.
"Maybe around July of 1887, in digging Coosa Tunnel, they ran into an extremely hard and difficult layer of rock. According to Spencer, an agent from New York came by and was trying to sell to Captain Dabney a steam drill, and Captain Dabney said, according to Spencer, "I've got a man that can beat your old steam drill any day." So the agent didn't believe that. He said, "Well, if he can do that, I'll give it to you." And that's how it came about, according to Spencer. And I suspect that's right.
Whatever facts may yet emerge about the historical John Henry, the musical John Henry had come into existence by the turn of the century. Rural singers like Doc Hopkins, born in 1900, mentioned learning the song as youngsters. Other players of the same generation recalled their parents speaking of John Henry as a well-known song. And in 1924, a North Georgia cotton mill hand named Fiddlin' John Carson made its earliest recording.
John Henry was on the right hand, put that steam drill up on the left, before your steam drill beat me down. Hammer my boots at the death, gonna hammer my boots at the death.
The John Henry story has since come to be told on more than 400 recordings. For Virginia blues musician John Cephas, the song was one of the first he ever learned. It was also the first song he ever recorded.
"Well, now John Henry said to the captain, a man ain't nothing but a man. But before I let the steam drill beat me down, I'm gonna die with that hammer in my hand, Lord, Lord. Die with that hammer in my hand."
Cephas compares John Henry to another worker hero, Joe Louis. Not only were songs written about them both, but as John Cephas describes the open windows in his neighborhood on the nights when Joe Louis stood in a ring, where the news of his double-fisted work blasted into the streets for those who couldn't afford their own radios, the similarities between the two figures becomes clear. Joe Louis's strength, his heroic rise from common origins, his character within the ring, and his conduct outside it mirror the traits associated with John Henry. Even if John Henry were entirely fiction, it was, as John Cephas says, a story that was close to being true.
"Just the story behind the whole song and the progression is so exciting. It just kind of lifts up your spirit. I know, especially for black people and for other people from other ethnic groups. You know, you don't care whether you're black or white or whatever, you know. The story is just itself is so inspiring that the underdog finally triumphs. It's a story of triumph."
John Cephas says that regardless of its age, this story never dies. It may summon an Old Testament tale of David and Goliath, or the saga of a 19th century Joe Louis. It may suggest a worker technologically displaced but not retrained, or illustrate the truth that a man ain't nothing but a man. It may describe a laborer who came from West Virginia, Alabama, Kentucky, or a dozen other places, or it may be a symbol of the many who came from everywhere to build this country. From all these places, stories, and songs, John Henry reaches out to claim his children, so that an old man on a train platform at dawn can say, "John Henry was my father."
Musician and researcher Stephen Wade lives in Hyattsville, Maryland. Early recordings of John Henry, as well as artists' impressions of the legendary figure, are available on our website, npr.org.
John Henry!